Yo, what's happening, everybody? My name is Anthony Correnti, and thank you, as always, for listening to another episode of the Dynasty Drive. I appreciate all of the support, as always. Free agency is kind of rumbling on at maybe not full speed, but, you know, we got transactions happening all across the board after kind of a slow-ish start for fantasy purposes. But before we dive into some of the reaction on what's shaken out so far during free agency, if you're new to listening to this podcast, you can follow me on Twitter at Dynasty Drive. Try and get a new episode out every week. Kind of settling back into that routine still a little bit, but wanted to kind of give it a little more time to breathe since the beginning of free agency was maybe a little bit slower for fantasy purposes. So today, just going to kind of run through some of the notable transactions, what it means for fantasy's sake, and kind of take it from there. So yeah, like I said, you can follow me on Twitter at Dynasty Drive. If you haven't already, I know I've mentioned it a lot recently, but if you haven't already, become a patron of the Rookie Big Board. Please head over to patreon.com/rookiebigboard. You can get a subscription for as cheap as $3 a month, where you can get access to a ton of valuable resources. You can get our consensus dynasty rankings. That's myself, Ryan Searfoss, and Eric Adams, who all host the Dynasty Big Board show on that podcast feed. You've got consensus Devy rankings from myself and Skip Newton, who hosts the Devy Big Board podcast, in addition to Matt's Devy Big Board, his Dynasty Big Board, the actual Rookie Big Board, John Lobb's rookie rankings, Devy rankings, a ton of valuable insight and information to be gained, and access to one of the most lively Discords, frankly, I've ever seen. There's always stuff popping off in a ton of different chats in the Discord server. So patreon.com/rookiebigboard, get signed up for as cheap as $3 a month. You will not regret it. All right, let's just take it position by position. Start with wide receivers, since I'm recording this on Sunday night, March 19th, about 8:15 Eastern Standard Time, and we've got some wide receiver movement today. One in the form of trade, the Dallas Cowboys acquire Brandon Cooks from the Houston Texans in exchange for a 2023 fifth-round pick and a 2024 sixth-round pick. Death, taxes, and Brandon Cooks getting traded, right? Like, that's just what happens. I actually love this, though, for fit-wise for both the Cowboys and for Brandon Cooks. Cooks being able to slide in, play opposite CeeDee Lamb with an established quarterback like Dak. There will be some targets available there for sure in that passing attack. Makes sense for Houston to move on. I know, you know, Cooks wanted out, but I think it's a really nice fit, and I think it paves the way for Brandon Cooks being fantasy relevant again in the short term. You know, I wouldn't be shocked at all if we could get another 1,000-yard season or right on the cusp of a 1,000-yard season, even though, you know, CeeDee Lamb will be the guy there, but Brandon Cooks is going to be able to put up some yards in that passing attack. So I like that move for Dallas to go out and fill a need across from CeeDee Lamb. And also, just as we are recording this, the Carolina Panthers have reportedly agreed to terms with Adam Thielen on a 3-year deal. So haven't seen the money yet. 3 years feels kind of probably not likely. I'd be kind of shocked if the guarantees even went into the second year. But if they do, good for him for a 32-year-old wide receiver. But whichever quarterback they will end up selecting at number one overall is going to need somebody to throw the ball to now that DJ Moore will be playing for the Chicago Bears. So I like the move to get somebody established in there that you know is a pro. You can rely on him to handle business, get open, run routes, have solid hands. It's not going to be the flashiest thing. Thielen will be more on the, I think, redraft radar. But if you're a win-now team or a contender, you could certainly do worse than having Thielen as a depth piece on your roster to kind of be prepared to go chase that title. Other notable wide receiver moves. Hasn't been a whole lot that's like crazy or going to shape, you know, shake up the landscape in a big way. The Jets agree to terms with Alan Lazard on a 4-year, $44 million deal with pretty much all the guarantees in the first 2 years. So it's almost identical to the deal they had Corey Davis on, who I think is still a likely candidate to be moved on from, whether it's in the eventual trade package that gets sent back to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers or if he's just released eventually. But I don't really expect Corey Davis to be on the roster for the Jets moving forward. I think it makes a lot of sense for him to be part of that trade package. And you get slightly younger with Lazard. He's going to be able to do a lot of that dirty work. Corey Davis did too, but hopefully stay a little healthier, be a little more consistent. The Jets passing attack will obviously be funneled through Garrett Wilson, but, you know, with all signs pointing to Aaron Rodgers coming to town, you know, he's got the chemistry with Lazard, and, you know, Lazard's going to have to be a name you pay attention to. For dynasty purposes, you know, it's nothing too crazy. I do think in the next, you know, year or two, he gets a nice kind of solidifies his worth, essentially, if he's going to be playing with Rodgers. And that's when all the guarantees are for the Jets anyway. So I like that move for them to go out and get Lazard. Jacoby Myers agreed to terms with the New England Raiders, which would be funny since, you know, McDaniels, but the Las Vegas Raiders. The Patriots opted to move on from Jacoby Myers, and essentially the Pats pivoted to Juju Smith-Schuster. I've been a Juju guy. Juju is still somehow, he's the same age as Jacoby Myers pretty much, despite it feeling like he's been in the league forever. I think Juju and the Pats offense is a really nice fit. I think Bill O'Brien will get Mac back on track. I think Mac has had, you know, there's a lot of good that has happened for Mac Jones in this offseason, starting with Bill O'Brien coming on board, then Juju, and then Mike Gesicki, who we'll touch on a little bit later. But I would like that fit for Juju to kind of be the focal point of that passing attack there. And Jacoby Myers, you know, it's fine. I didn't love it at first. I liked it a little bit better after Darren Waller was shipped out of town, I guess, from a target share perspective. But that's, you know, Davante Adams passing attack there. So I think Jacoby Myers will just kind of, you know, you have to hope he'll be what he's been. I don't think it's really likely he takes a step past that at this point. And then outside of that, you know, there's still some big names out there, but there were some other like lower level names that I think are interesting just from like they won't set the world on fire, but they'll help you here and there. Darius Slayton staying with the Giants. I thought he might get a bigger deal someplace else, so interesting to see him stay there. But Paris Campbell signing with the Giants on a one-year deal is interesting. Paris Campbell, pretty quietly, I think, had like a 60-catch season last year for the Colts. If he can stay healthy, I think he finally showed some of what we thought he could be for the Colts. He's got a younger, better quarterback at this point in their respective careers in Daniel Jones now, so Paris Campbell's still somebody firmly on my radar. And then you got a lot of big names, kind of, not big names necessarily, but some big names still kicking out there. Odell Beckham's still a free agent. DJ Chark's still a free agent. And then, you know, you're in that lower tier of like Mecole Hardman. Is he going to get a big deal someplace? Not a big deal, because the big deals dried up quick, right? And the big deals were only to the tune of like $11 million, you know, average yearly, which was the Lazard deal and the Myers deal. They kind of paced everything, and after that, the money at wide receiver just hasn't really been there this season. So be interesting to see where some of these other guys land. Odell Beckham probably most interestingly, but see what happens. Running back, some guys move, some guys stay. Let's start with Miami. They're running it back, no pun intended, with the same running back room so far. They brought back both Raheem Mostert on a two-year, $5.6 million deal. And Jeff Wilson as well on a two-year, $6 million deal. I think that's best case scenario for both of those players. Both Wilson and Mostert are good fits in that Mike McDaniel offense. You know, Mostert, anytime he's healthy, he's kind of been a perfect fit for that style of offense. I think Jeff Wilson's a very good fit for that style of offense as well. So it'll be interesting to see if they make any sort of premium investment in the NFL draft at the running back position. But for those players specifically, I think it worked out pretty good. I think they're most valuable right where they're at. At kind of the top of the running back class, Miles Sanders agrees to 4 years, $25 million with the Carolina Panthers. David Montgomery, 3 years, $18 million with the Detroit Lions, who move on from Jamal Williams, kind of surprisingly. He gets 3 years, $12 million from the New Orleans Saints. So I love that Jamal Williams fit for the Saints. You know, Alvin Kamara kind of has some uncertainty regarding his future as we wait for his off-the-field stuff to shake out. And I really thought Jamal Williams would end up back in Detroit. It seemed like when the season ended, he had interest. It sounded like they had interest. He led the league in rushing touchdowns. Seemed like they had a pretty good thing there with, you know, Jamal kind of being the power option. And when Swift is healthy, kind of featuring him as a receiver and sprinkling him in the run game. But I think he's a really nice fit in New Orleans and gives that backfield some steady kind of. It's, Jamal Williams is what he is. Not going to be the flashiest guy, but, you know, he's going to pound it inside, probably get you just over 4 yards a carry, and hopefully score a lot of rushing touchdowns. And if Kamara does miss time or is not there, a lot of touchdown upside to be had, especially now that we're not, you know, Derek Carr is the best quarterback in the world, but it's a better option than the Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston experience that we had last year from a running back perspective. So I love that fit for Jamal Williams. And for the same reasons I kind of thought Jamal Williams would stay in Detroit, I do like the fit for David Montgomery in Detroit. If David Montgomery doesn't get a ton of love. But hey, I mean, he did get $6 million a year, which, I mean, it's not crazy money, but in this running back market, I mean, they gave him $11 million guaranteed, right? So they're going to feature him a little bit, kind of, I think, in the way that Jamal Williams was. It's going to be a committee, and he'll be the guy that they lean on to get the tough yards. And, you know, we'll see what happens if DeAndre Swift can stay healthy. But I don't know. You got to pay more attention to David Montgomery, I think, than you might have the past couple of years. I know he's kind of been like a punching bag. He's never really the most fun or exciting player, but he's going to get usage in Detroit, and usage is king. Miles Sanders gets the 4-year deal. Really, it's got all the guarantees in 2 years pretty much, which is the case with almost every deal anymore. But 4 years, $25 million for the Carolina Panthers. I didn't really expect him to stay in Philadelphia, but I wasn't necessarily expecting him to land with Carolina either. But he's going to get work there, that's for sure. They'll have a rookie quarterback. They'll have to lean on the run game. They've got a sound offensive staff there, kind of led by Frank Reich. So Miles Sanders was going to kind of maintain pretty similar value for me almost anywhere he ended up, I think, because it was either he ended up back in Philly and we saw what happened last year, or he got paid a decent amount of money and, you know, we'll get usage wherever he goes. So it's a nice fit for Miles Sanders. He's going to get a ton of work and doesn't have a ton to compete with there in the backfield at the current moment, since Deontay Foreman is not there anymore. He ends up taking the David Montgomery spot in Chicago. Another guy that it sounded like Carolina really liked him. They would want to keep him. Deontay Foreman moves to Chicago to kind of form a committee with Khalil Herbert. I like that more for Khalil Herbert, honestly, because Herbert was explosive last year. I think he was the better of the two running backs out of himself and David Montgomery last year. I think Herbert will be the leader in that backfield this year. Deontay Foreman got a 1-year, $3 million deal. I don't believe any of it to be fully guaranteed. So we'll see what happens. But there's no lock he even is on the roster for the long term. Now, the running back move that seemingly everybody was talking about, Twitter exploded over it, right? Rashad Penny to the Philadelphia Eagles. Look, I get the upside in the move, and it's a cheap move. So from a team-building perspective, sure, I get it for Philly. You know, it's a one-year, $1 million deal pretty much, or $1.3 million deal. But the hype was a little crazy right after the move happened. The Rashad Penny move happened, and I saw, you know, Rashad Penny could lead the league in rushing. And Rashad Penny in that backfield is going to be insane. And, like, I guess I get it. You know, he's explosive and super efficient when he's healthy, which I think is the operative word there, right? Like, he appeared in 5 games last year, 10 the year before that, but then 3 the year before that, 10 the year before that. He's never really been healthy. So I said, like, from a dynasty perspective, he's already 27, a 27-year-old running back who has a lengthy injury history. Yeah, he's probably a sell for me, especially if everybody else is super bullish on the fit. Like, I understand the fit, but unless I'm a contender, like, if I'm anything aside from like a championship favorite, I'll sell him for almost whatever I could get. Like, I would flip Rashad Penny for a 2023 second in almost any circumstance right now, and I think people would pay it. I think he's just kind of the instance of this is a player that other people will always like or value higher than I will, which is fine. I'm just not going to have a whole lot of exposure to him because I think the injury risk and his age is too much for me. If I had him, I would look to sell him while the hype is high right now and while he's healthy right now. So I understand the fit. I understand, you know, the backfield with Jalen Hurts and that explosive offense. Totally get it. Just not the player for me that I'm willing to take a risk on. And then outside of those moves, you know, James Robinson lands with the New England Patriots after he had like a weird kind of season after the Jets acquired him following the Breece Hall injury. You know, we'll say that's the Ramondre Stevenson backfield, in my opinion. There'll be some other guys that mix in, but I'm not super worried about James Robinson taking touches from Ramondre. Alexander Mattison kind of surprisingly stayed in Minnesota. I thought he might find work someplace else. So that one was a little bit shocking. And then Samaje Perine moves from the Cincinnati Bengals to the Denver Broncos. So some insurance there for Javonte Williams as he works his way back from injury. But, yeah, not something I'm super worked up over. All right, at tight end, we got a few things, I think, that are notable. Obviously, the big one was Darren Waller, acquired by the New York Giants in exchange for, I believe it was a late third-round pick. I don't have that pulled up right in front of me. I believe, I want to say it was pick 100 or pick 104, something right around there. The Kadarius Toney pick. In the optics of you essentially swapped Kadarius Toney, who I'm not a Toney guy, you swapped Toney for Darren Waller. I love that from a team building perspective. I would bet that Darren Waller's ADP probably gets a little rich for my blood. There's just, you know, younger options from a dynasty perspective that I'd probably rather be invested in. But in redraft, I think Waller's going to have a good season. I like that the Giants went out and found a way to get a proven, reliable pass-catching weapon in a pretty weak free agent wide receiver class. They know they needed to get Daniel Jones more weapons, so they re-signed Darius Slayton, and they bring in Paris Campbell. But then you go out and trade for somebody like Waller, who you know what he can do if he's healthy, right? No debating that. So I do like that fit. I mentioned earlier Mike Gesicki joins the New England Patriots on a one-year, $4.5 million deal. I like that. Mike Gesicki's not a tight end, really. He's just a big slot receiver. So I think you'll see a lot of, you know, Juju in one slot, Mike Gesicki in the other slot. And like I said, when we were talking about Juju, I think this is good for Mac. I think the New England offense might be a little slept on right now after kind of a weird year last year. But I expect Bill O'Brien to get that offense back on track, and the arrow should be pointing back up on Mac Jones. And yeah, I like it from Mike Gesicki too, who from a usage standpoint had a down year in Miami last year when we saw that offense was, you know, funneled through Tyreek Hill having one of the best seasons of his career and Jalen Waddle being one of the best young wide receivers in football. Kind of surprisingly, Dalton Schultz still on the market, hasn't been signed anywhere. There's a lot of like weird tight end names still on the market. Austin Hooper, you know, Irv Smith, I think, is a free agent still kicking around out there. Foster Moreau is one that I'm interested to see what happens in. You know, flashed a little bit when Darren Waller was hurt last year, so I kind of thought once the Waller trade happened that Foster Moreau would be brought back fairly quickly from Vegas, but I think he's still out on the market as of this recording. And then, you know, the Vikings signed Josh Oliver from the Ravens. Yeah, he got like a decent deal, 3 years, $21 million. But obviously, you know, we're not letting that slow down the TJ Hockenson hype. Hayden Hurst, though, moves on from the Bengals to join the Carolina Panthers. 3 years, $21 million. He's got guarantees. It's $13 million guaranteed. So, again, essentially the first 2 years guaranteed. Still just under 30. He'll be 30, I think, this season. And, again, like we said about Thielen, young quarterback is going to need somebody to throw the ball to. We've heard it time and time again. Young quarterback's best friend, tight end in the middle of the field. So I think Hayden Hurst will be fairly involved, honestly, this coming season for the Panthers. And, you know, we'll see to what degree. But even this past season in Cincinnati, you know, with T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, some of those guys there, still had 68 targets. 52 catches, 414 yards, and 2 touchdowns. It's not setting the world on fire, but, I mean, receiving yardage output-wise, second best of his career. So, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Hayden Hurst be able to put up a 500 or 600-yard receiving season this season with the Carolina Panthers, depending on how that young quarterback shakes out and who they opt to go with. I think the lack of other receiving weapons there will kind of make that kind of force their hand a little bit. All right, and we'll finish up with quarterback. Obviously, we touched on it last week. Jimmy Garoppolo is a Las Vegas Raider. Since the recording when we said it looked like Aaron Rodgers would be a Jet, Aaron Rodgers had since gone on Pat McAfee and said he intends to play for the New York Jets. That trade is still getting worked out. I think there's no reason that it won't get worked out. Obviously, I'm biased. I'm a Jets fan, but yeah, I've seen some of the stuff about, you know, Green Bay has all the leverage to wait till the start of the season. That's not happening. It's just not happening. I'm to the point where I'm going to mute the word leverage on Twitter just so I could stop seeing the Jets fans and the, you know, argue about they have the leverage, and then the Packers beat and the Packers fans saying they have the leverage, and it doesn't matter. They both of these teams have reasons to get this deal done. It'll get done. It'll be done before the draft. I would bet probably within the next week or so. But you know, not worth arguing about, in my opinion. When that happens, obviously the arrow goes way up on all Jets weapons. Other quarterback news. The Carolina Panthers signed Andy Dalton to a 2-year deal to be the backup for whoever they select in the draft. The Falcons signed Taylor Heinicke to back up Desmond Ridder. Heinicke's interesting, though. Like, I'm not a huge Desmond Ridder guy, and Heinicke's somebody that, you know, we've seen win some games in Washington before, so does make me wonder how long that leash will be for Desmond Ridder. Jacoby Brissett moves over to Washington, 1-year, $8 million deal, so we'll see how long Sam Howell's leash is. Mike White goes from the Jets. Former Jets legend Mike White joins the Miami Dolphins on a 2-year, $8 million deal. He's a Florida guy. Not shocked that he ends up back in Florida. And, you know, Tua's always going to have the injury thing kicking around. So wouldn't shock me at all if we see Mike White play some games this year. Unfortunately, Mike White also can't stay healthy himself any year, it seems like. So I think he's a good backup option. And I wouldn't be shocked if we see him play some games this year. Marcus Mariota, finally a Philadelphia Eagle. 1-year, $5 million deal to back up Jalen Hurts. Sam Darnold has a 1-year, $4.5 million deal with the San Francisco 49ers, which is an interesting one. It's going to be a weird offseason there. Brock Purdy recovering, Trey Lance recovering, and we haven't seen him in forever. Wouldn't shock me if we see some Sam Darnold, but we'll see. And Gardner Minshew lands with the Colts on a 1-year, $3.5 million deal. Some insurance for them as they likely look to take a quarterback at 4 or move up to 3rd overall and take a quarterback there. And Baker Mayfield gets a 1-year deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think Baker Mayfield will be the guy there. I'm not a big Kyle Trask fan. I think Baker Mayfield will have that job this season. So we'll see how that goes. At least he's got weapons. He's got a Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rashad White in the backfield, and hopefully it'll work out. We'll see. I'd like to see Baker do well. I think the league is better when Baker's doing well. So that one is interesting. Kind of guy that was, you know, left for dead pretty early on last year in Superflex formats, but could still return you some value now. And then, you know, there's some names still kicking around out there, but none that are going to change anything super significantly. Carson Wentz is a free agent. Matt Ryan's a free agent. I don't really expect any team at this point to invest in them like a starter. Maybe they get backup jobs, but I wouldn't bank on it. So there you go. Still some big names out there in free agency, both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. We'll see if more of that wraps up this week. And if you know, there's more notable stuff to react to, we'll get it out as fast as we can. But thank you all for listening to another episode of the Dynasty Drive. I appreciate the support as always, and we will be back with another episode next week. Probably start talking some more rookie stuff again. So thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.